She can hear you when it's your name.
If you hear a teaching once, you should be able to teach it after that in Medellin or wherever you may live. So just to review, there's this wheel there, and inside the middle of the wheel there are all the people and other beings in the world, right? And then all of them are being held in the clutches and in the fangs of the Lord of Death. So that monster represents the death. It represents the death that we were born with, like Swamiji said today, you know, when you are born, your death is born with you, and it slowly eats you away. You know, we don't know when it will reach the heart. They call it Marmahata, right, in Sanskrit. It reaches the crucial point of the body and then you die, right? So really this painting was designed to show a proposal of how to stop death itself, how to stop the process of death itself and getting old. Mm-hmm. And from the wheel, you can learn a certain method of living your life. You can learn a certain method of doing things. And I think it's like, I don't know, maybe playing an instrument, right? At first, you don't do it very well. You know, you don't play it exactly well at first. But you try, and then you start to get little successes, little good things happen in your life. So what I mean is, you will learn a method. We will show you a method that's contained in this wheel for being happy, right? For being truly, deeply happy. And then you'll try it. And then you'll have small successes, you know? At the beginning, you'll have small successes. And then, you know, maybe you'll have one amazing thing happen to you. And then maybe two things, amazing things happen to you. And if you keep up the way of life which is expressed in this painting, then I think one day you wake up and you realize that you are truly, truly, deeply happy, you know, and that your life is a very happy life, and that you are living just in a very contented and happy way. Mm. Sometime after that, you overcome your death also. Okay? So, all kinds of good things can come if you understand this real. And I think Mama Christie and I, we're trying to really give it to you in a way in which you can use in your own life and try it. Try the method that we will talk about. And try it in your own life. It's nothing that you haven't learned here in the ashram, you know, it's nothing that you haven't heard before. Maybe it's a different way of saying it. And sometimes, you know, I grew up a Christian, but when I went to live in the monastery, then I understood all the things I had been taught when I was a child. And sometimes people can come in from another tradition and say the same things that Swamiji is saying in a little bit different order or something, or with a painting. And then suddenly you get it, you know. So I hope that you'll try what we say. And my own experience is that it just brings you all the beautiful things in your life that you hope for. It brings you real happiness. And in time, you see a way to stop death itself and pain, all the pain in this world. I almost called you Rinpoche. Rinpoche is okay. Rinpoche is what we call a high lama. But Rinpoche said today that Adi Shankara calls, he calls samsara the samsara of pain, right? The wheel of pain. So I think if you, that's exactly what this is. This is the wheel of pain. That this is the wheel of samsara. And if you understand the painting, your pain will start to go away. The funny thing about when pain goes away, you don't notice it much. Just you wake up one day and everything's like completely amazing in your life, everything's perfect, and then you realize that you turned the wheel, you turned it back. You know, so here we go. I'm going to go over the first few links again. The very first link at 1 o'clock or 12:30 is a blind man, right? And that represents avidya, or you can say misunderstanding your world, right? And we said that we misunderstand everything. Everything that you think works or does something doesn't work the way you thought it worked, right? So does aspirin exist? Aspirin exists, right? I mean, we say, if you can perceive a thing with pramana, with a valid cognition, then it must exist. Okay? So you saw it, you weren't drunk, crazy, or stoned, and you saw the aspirin, and no, we say that's a non-pramana, that's a non-valid perception. Okay? Or extreme emotions like jealousy can twist your perceptions. But you've seen the aspirin, okay? Aspirin it exists. But does it work? That was the big thing we were talking about. And then you think, when you take an aspirin, you know, you're in pain, usually you really need it. And you have a deep faith, a deep trust that there's something in the aspirin that will help you. You believe that, you know, you don't eat a rock, a stone. You take an aspirin because you believe there's something in the aspirin that will take away your pain. And that's the reason why you go to a doctor in the first place. That's the reason why you open a book like the Bhagavad Gita. You think there is something in there that will help you. But the problem is with the aspirin is that we can see also from pramana, also from our own valid experience, we can see that some people take aspirin and it works, and some people take an aspirin and it doesn't work. Or you take an aspirin on Tuesday and it works, and you take the same aspirin on Wednesday and it doesn't work. So we would say, in the Buddhist tradition, this is proof that the aspirin doesn't work at all. Okay. And if my Lama used to say, we used to say, but Mama, it works sometimes. He says, would you get on a plane if the stewardess was standing at the door and said, sometimes they fly, sometimes they fall down, you know? You know, would you say that a plane worked, you see? And, you know, if it works, it should work all the time, or it really doesn't work. Then it's not medicine. Medicine is that object which, when you digest, ingest it, it takes away some problem you have. But aspirin doesn't do that. So it's not medicine. So really, it's not aspirin. Okay? Like that. But some people take an aspirin and it works. Okay? So then we have to think why. Okay? Why does an aspirin work? Okay? And the goal of myself and Lama Christie, this talk, is to try to bring you to a place where you understand why everything could work and how you could make it work. So we, again, like Swamiji said today, we're not telling you not to take aspirin. We're not saying don't take aspirin. We're saying add the ingredient that needs to be added to aspirin to make it work, and then take the aspirin. So there's an active ingredient in aspirin, and it's not a chemical. It's not a physical substance, okay? It's none of the powders in the aspirin makes your headache go away. There's something else in the aspirin. And we would say, as the path of yoga would say, Raja Yoga would say, as in the Ashtanga, we would say that what gives the medicine its power, when it works, what gives aspirin the ability to take away your headache isn't the chemicals in the aspirin. It's your good deeds towards others. It's how much you've taken care of other people. If you have really taken care of other people, then the aspirin, then the active ingredient is there. And then you can take the aspirin or yoga, asana. If you've been serving the sick in an active way, in a knowledgeable way, okay, vidya, all right? We say in our tradition, you can do a good karma and then try to do yoga or try to use aspirin and it still won't work. We say knowledge of how things work takes some training. It takes some training. I can't just tell you, give away money and next week you'll be rich, because you see people who give away money and just get poor, right? And you see people who don't give away money and become rich, you know? You see people who serve the sick and catch the disease that they haven't died, you know? So we would say these people don't understand the technique. There's a technique. There are techniques involved. And if you understand the techniques, that's vidya, which is an active understanding or a very deep understanding of how things work. Then you can make things happen, including stopping death itself, which is the purpose of this teaching. It's the purpose of this video. Stop pain, stop death, stop aging, stop all kinds of emotional suffering on this entire world. To an enlightened being, this world is not such a big place. It's a little puddle in a big bunch of worlds, you know, and we are sort of backwards. We are like aborigines, you know, and then enlightened beings come and they're trying to just explain a few things we need to know and then we'll be okay, you know. So, like the Gita. Alright? So, in the first link, the person doesn't understand the aspirin. In the second link, they take the aspirin and they're making a pot, they're making karma. Okay? That's samskara. In the third link, you know, and how many times a day do you try something and not understand how it works? Like all day long. Everything you've ever done in your life, mostly, was done without understanding. Even the times that the car started and the aspirin worked, you didn't know why they worked. You know? Ask a modern person to make a computer, you know, and they can't. They wouldn't be able. They wouldn't even be able to explain how a computer works. Very few of them, right? So the things that work out for us, we are like that. When an aspirin works, we don't really know why it works. We're just happy that it works, you see? So in this wheel, you're taking control of the situation and you're making things work. In the third link, one of the sanskaras from your past life has opened at the point of birth, and your mind is entering a new body. Okay, that's what's happening. The monkey is entering a new body. The restless mind is entering a new body. In the fourth link, which we call nama rupa, right? Name and form. We call Ming and Ming Shi Kumbo and Sup. Sup is your physical body. And then Ming Shi Kumbo means the other parts of you are called name. So this boat represents your mother's womb. And the two guys represent your physical body and all the other parts of you, which include the sanskaras, which include Michael, the idea of Michael, which include Michael's mind and Michael's mind and Michael's thought. All those things, parts of Michael, are in the boat of his mother's womb. And they are journeying to the point of birth, coming out of your mother. Okay, so number four, which we call Nama Rupa, is in this context means your body and mind in your mother's womb. Okay? And then number five we call Keche Drup. Say Keche? Ayatana. It means the six organs of sense. Okay? The six gateways of sense. So you see there an empty building. And that represents the organs of sense. As they are forming in the body, the end of the formation of the organs of sense in the womb and after you come out of the womb. Okay? We say mikme, naome, name, chime, lume, yime, sume. In the Heart Sutra, we have a list of them. The eyes, ears, nose, mouth, body, and mind. So these are the six ayatas. In this case, in this context, the six ayatas. Basically, to put it simply, your new suffering body is ready to give you suffering. Okay?
So you didn't get much about the, what was that, number five? Does anybody have that? Okay, great. We'll count again. One, two. Blind person, the pots, the monkey, the two people in the boat, and then the empty house. Everybody should have five, right? One of the reasons why that the house is empty is that in this, there are different presentations of the Wheel of Life, and in this particular presentation, it's a three-lifetime scheme. You know, so it goes through the first two links are actually your past life, and then the next few links are your present life, and then the last two links are birth and death. So it's like a whole three-lifetime experience. So in that scheme of the Wheel of Life, and we'll do a different scheme later, but in that particular three-lifetime scheme, the house is empty because although your senses, as we talked about, have formed in the womb, like your eye consciousness, your ear consciousness, they actually haven't engaged with anything yet. So they're forming, but they're not active. So it's like the house is empty. There is a different sort of deeper reason that the house is empty that maybe we can get into in a later time when we're dealing with a different scheme of the Wheel of Life. But for this scheme, that's what it means. So that's number five. Number six. We're going on to link number six. And in this particular picture, it's a very racy picture of two people engaging together. This is at like, what is this? 5:45 down on the wheel here. It's supposed to be two people kissing. And the point of it is two people, it's called contact. Contact. Sparsha in Sanskrit. Or Regpa in Tibetan. It means touch or contact. Interaction. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that kind of interaction. It's sort of any old interaction. I don't know anything. Let's see. Can you hand me some? Maybe I'll just take your water. Can I take your glass? So, everybody look up at this thing.
Yeah.
All right. You have just made contact. Your eye consciousness has just made contact with the green glass. Right? The moment that you looked up, there was contact. And that's what they're talking about in this link. It's the first moment of contact between you and the object. Between one of your doors of sense and the object. When you talk about the eye consciousness, you can say some kind of light bounces from the object to your eye. And then your eye becomes conscious of it. It forms a little picture in the back of the retina. And then that sends a message to your main mind, your awareness, and then suddenly you're aware of the object. Right? That's usually how we think it goes. In that scenario, we would always be living a moment in the past. So you wouldn't actually see the glass in the present moment. Your awareness of the glass would be an awareness of the moment before. It's kind of like when you look up at the sky and you see the light from stars that have already died. You know, you're looking up at the sky and you think you see a star, but really the light has traveled so far that that star has died by the time you see its light. And it's the same thing, but it's only, you know, momentary here. It's like the moment after you see it, your mind is aware of seeing it. So, in that sense, we're never living in the present moment with any of the objects that we engage in. So, here's the question. Is it that the object comes first, and then the eye is aware of it? Because this is how we normally think of all of the objects in our world. We think that when we walk into the temple, the picture of Shivananda on the wall is already there, and then we look up and we see it, right? That's the way that we think of everything in our world. We think that the world is actually out there, and that we are just walking through it, and we are engaging with the objects that are already there, and that's not correct. That's not correct. Take a moment. Picture yourself leaving the ashram, going across the bay. Then picture yourself at Mermaid Dock, getting into a taxi. If you have big luggage, you will have to take a big taxi, like we always do. Then you picture yourself going from Mermaid Dock to the airplane. Are you here? Are you picturing? Then you get on, you go through that cool Bahamian airport that has all the swimming pictures of the Olympic swimmer ladies and all the fish and the turtles on the floor. I mean, you can see it, right? I mean, depending on how many times you've gone through the airport, you have a better picture or a worse picture, but at least you have some kind of picture, right? Then you get on the plane. Then there's all people on the plane. You get a couple of orange juices with no ice. Then you land and you are. You no? Yeah, and the switch is on. We don't have the karma for a microphone. But luckily, I have a much louder voice than Geshen Michael. So while they fix the microphone for Geshen Michael, I'll keep talking. Because we don't have that much time. So, you're at the airport at your hometown. Yes? You're at the airport at your hometown. Can you picture it? Can you picture yourself getting into whatever car you would get into and driving back to your house? Can you picture going to the refrigerator in your house and opening it up and seeing what is there in your refrigerator. No, this is all, it's all a very practical exercise, because what it means is that all of those things are in your mind. The entire thing that you just went through is a tiny little picture inside of your mind. And that's what you walk through all the time, every day. Your mind makes the picture, and then it walks through it. And then it makes another picture, and then it walks through it. Your mind has the entire universe mapped out in some form or another. I mean, if we said, okay, picture, you know, the whole earth, you know, you would have some kind of concept of all the places you've ever been and the continents there, and everybody's picture would be different. Like, we're all living in a slightly different world because we all have different karmic seeds coming from our mind. We project the world, and then we walk through it. And then we project it, and then we walk through it. So it's not the case that the object comes first. It's not the case that first the glass is raised, and then you look at it. Neither is it the case that your eye consciousness comes first. And this is a little bit more difficult. The eye is by nature a seer. If it wasn't seeing anything, it couldn't be a seer. So it is actually the object that makes it a seer. So the eye needs the object as much as the object needs the eye. Has there ever been a visible object that nobody saw? I mean, that's sort of a contradiction in terms. There are no visible objects that nobody sees. The visible object needs the eye consciousness in order for them to be visible objects. The eye consciousness needs the visible object in order to be an eye consciousness. So they're mutually dependent on each other. They are mutual causes for each other. So, in the highest school, we say, the eye doesn't really engage in anything at all. What's actually happening is there is one single karmic seed that ripens out of our heart chakra, and it ripens as the experience of seeing a glass. And then, due to our ignorance, that seed splits into a subject state of mind and object, into the eye consciousness and the glass. But, and then we think of them as two separate things that have nothing to do with each other. But in reality, they're both born from the same seed. They're both born from the same karmic seed. So what is the point of all of this? What is our real experience of this life? What is our real nature in this life? Why do we need to know that the eye consciousness and the glass are coming from the same karmic seed? Because we make a mistake because we see that this thing is separate from ourselves. Because we don't understand that it's coming from us, we make a mistake of trying to grasp to objects that we like, trying to push away objects that we don't like, not realizing that they're all coming from seeds inside of our heart, and not realizing how to create those karmic seeds. Now, if we like the glass in our ignorance, you know, as Swamiji was holding this thermos into his heart all day, we clutch to the things that we like because, And it's that very act of clutching to those things that makes us lose the very things that we love the most. Due to our ignorant grasping, we lose the very things we love the most. And due to our ignorant disliking of things, you know, pushing away, if you don't like the glass, or get that away from me, you know, we do things, we make karmas that actually perpetuate the very things that we don't like and make them come back again and again and again. And that's the cycle of pain. That's the cycle of pain. So there's this crucial moment of when you actually make contact with the object, what's really going on? Can I have knowledge about what's happening when I actually walk through the world, when I look at every object in my world? And can that help me get to liberation?
So I thought I would talk about the idea of samsara. We're actually finished. We had to memorize it in the monks there. Dhamma Maripa, Nyipatu Jeki Le, Sumba Namsha, Shiba Minsu, Mapa Keche, Tupanepa, Dumba Tsorwa. We're on to 7 o'clock, 6:30, Vedana, which means feeling. So once your eye makes contact with an object, once your senses make contact with an object, right? The contact was the people kissing, right? You had to have the capacity to sense in order to make contact. So the link before that was the house, right? To have a house, a body to make contact with, you had to be in your mother's womb, developing. To get into your mother's womb, you had to be, your mind had to enter your mother's womb. For your mind to enter your mother's womb, you had to have done at least one dumb thing in your past life. And everything we do is dumb, okay? Every action you've ever taken in your life was mistaken. So somebody asked me today, you know, what's the hope? You know, according to you, a sanskara is planted by avidya, and avidya, ignorance, it doesn't take anything more than misunderstanding the aspirin, you see? If you think the aspirin has some power in it, if you think the chemicals are what help your headache, and then you act upon that, you've already planted a sanskara, which one is enough to throw you into a new life. And then we make them all day. You know, so somebody was walking with me off the sidewalk and they said, you know, it's hopeless. It's all hopeless, you know. I must have billions of those sanskaras in my heart already. Because I took aspirin, I got on the boat, I drove in a car, I opened a book, I ate food. These are all expressions of ignorance. You see, you think there's something in the food, you think the boat can get you someplace. You see what I mean? You think they have power to work, and they don't have power. The power is coming from somewhere else, right? So like when you want good feeling, right? That's number 7. You by the way, what's the painting in number 7? 6:30. That's 6:30. It's a guy with an arrow in his eye. All right. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a guy. Traditionally, it's a guy with an arrow stuck in his eye, and it means you feel it. You know, you feel it. Let's say you feel a headache. Let's see. Okay, so that's feeling, right? So you have a headache, and that's feeling, and then feeling tends to aggravate ignorance. Okay. The feeling, vedana, tends to make your avidya stronger. Okay? When you want a boy really bad, your ignorance register goes up. Okay? You're willing to do more stupid things than than without the boy. Okay. When you have a headache, you're willing to do things that, you know, you wouldn't normally do. So, you know, you're sitting in class, one of the swamis is sitting next to you, you've got a bad headache, okay? I'm giving an act of vidya, of knowledge, okay? By the way, the answer to the lady's question today, I think her name is, she's the temple lady.
Mira.
So she said, well, what hope is there? And in our, when we take our final exam for Geshe, it's 3 weeks long. It starts 2 years ahead of time. The last 3 weeks are the worst. And then 1,000, in my monastery, 1,000 monks question you. Or in public. And then, you know, you have to answer pretty well. Not perfectly, but you have to. Everybody has to agree that you are good enough. And then the last question is always the same. It's a tradition that the last question is always the same. And everyone, the last day, the last question is posed by one of the high lamas. And then everybody has this big yellow hat on, right? But you're not allowed to wear one yet until you get a geshe. I lost mine. I don't know where it is. Anyway. The last question is always the same. It's korola ta mebechen, which means samsara has no end. He proposes he makes a proposition to you. He says, korola ta mebechen, samsara has no end, right? And then you say tamaduk. Tamaduk means that's not true. And then he says, korola ta yarata, are you telling me samsara does have an end? And then you say, duh. Duh means yes, that's what I'm saying. And then you say, show. Show means, give me the reason why. Why does samsara, why does this wheel have an end? And then you say, which means there is a powerful force which can overcome the wheel. There is a powerful force which, if it is present, can overcome the wheel. It can stop the wheel. And that's it. That's the end of the Geshe exam. You know, 20 years of work. 3 weeks of examination. You just say, there's a powerful force which can stop the wheel. Then everybody throws their hat up. And then they spend like an hour trying to figure out whose hat is whose. You know? And they scream. They make this big scream, this big celebration scream. So to answer Miro's question, they say a single act of knowledge can cancel thousands of acts of ignorance because it's true. It has power. And truth has more power than the lie. Okay? So, like, you know, one honest statement in your life can overcome years of lying about something. You know, you can say to somebody, look, you know, this is what really happened. And then all the lies you told for years, they don't mean anything because they saw the true answer. So if you can do one act with vidya, with knowledge, it can cancel all the sanskaras. It can wipe out thousands or tens of thousands of old taking aspirin sanskaras. Okay? Alright? So here's how to do based on feeling, right? You're having a feeling. You have a bad headache. You have an arrow in your eye. Alright? You have a really bad headache. And then, it's a long story. Anyway, so you're sitting next to the Swami, and Rinpoche is teaching, and it's getting worse and worse, you know. And then finally you reach into your pocket, you know, like you're trying to kind of get it out. You know, monks and swamis aren't supposed to get headaches. People lose faith if they see you popping aspirin. So, you know, you're like kind of get it out into your hand like that. And then I usually yawn. You know, you're just about to yawn and pop it. And then the Swami sitting next to you says, he whispers to you, I have this really bad headache. I wish I had an aspirin. I really wish I had an aspirin. You only have one, right? So this is an act of vidya, okay, of knowledge, right? The act of knowledge goes like this. You, You're considering whether to give them the aspirin, right? You're considering, should I do a mitzvah or not? You know, like it's in your mind. Maybe I should do a mitzvah, you know, a good deed. And then you're thinking, you work it out in your mind, you know, like, if I give him the aspirin, then I'll still have a headache, you know. On the other hand, I was in that class the other week when those crazy Buddhist people came. And I remember them saying that there's nothing in the aspirin that will take away my headache, you know. And I remember them saying what really charged the aspirin or gave the aspirin its power. What gives the aspirin power is that you have shown kindness towards someone else, and probably someone else who had a headache. Okay, what gives an aspirin power for you? Is if in a knowledgeable way, and you must know the technique, okay? And we haven't taught the technique yet. There are techniques, okay? There are people who give away money, don't get money, okay? They don't know the technique, okay? So it's a little bit more complicated than just giving an aspirin, okay? But let's say you are reflecting on what they said. They said, what takes your headache away is the kindness in aspirin, the active ingredient in an aspirin is your kindness, your past kindness. So you're like, do an act of knowledge. Okay, you hand the aspirin to the Swami, the other Swami, and you say, I have an aspirin. You take the aspirin. Okay, two things happen. Okay, two things happen. First of all, they get something they really need and want. Okay, and they're happy. You made someone really happy. You know, I mean, that's the. You did an act of kindness, and acts of kindness make people happy. They're kind because they bring comfort to people. And they bring happiness to people. You made someone else happy. That was the first result of your action. Secondly, you created a new scene, okay? I don't think we would call it samskara, okay? Why? You tell me. It is not, number two, it is not the guy making a pot. Why? Say again? Who said that? Just raise your hand. That's not bad. Okay. Yeah. It can only be a sanskara in the wheel sense, okay? In the context of the wheel. We say in the context of it helps, it protects you in many debates, right? In the context of the wheel, it cannot be a sanskara because it didn't come from ignorance. It wasn't an act of ignorance, okay? The only way there could have been an act of ignorance was if you kept the aspirin and used it yourself because you believed there was something in the aspirin aside from kindness. Got it? But you just did an act of knowledge. You just did an act of understanding. This is not a samsaric act. And it doesn't perpetuate samsara. It doesn't cause or perpetuate samsara. Okay? It is done with vidya. It is done with knowledge. And it's one true act among thousands of false acts. And its power will cancel the power of samsara. Enough of those acts stops the wheel of samsara. Okay? An action done with knowledge. Okay. By the way, I didn't say in my example, you're not giving the Swami the aspirin because out of what I would call uneducated kindness. Okay? It's not uneducated kindness. You're not giving him the aspirin because your father and mother told you you should give away the last aspirin, or your school told you you should give away the last aspirin, or even your Swami told you you should give. You're not doing it because of that. You understand the aspirin, and you understand what gives aspirin power. So you're doing an act of understanding, not an act of culture, culturally, that's demanded by your culture or by your upbringing or anything like that. You're offering an aspirin because you want to help them and because you want to charge the aspirin with power, you see? And so, we say it's an act of knowledge, and it's not an act of habit. It's not an uneducated kind of act, which in the Yoga Sutra is called Shukla Karma, right? A white, uneducated karma, which has an effect, and then the effect goes away. And you're back where you started from, okay? So we make a distinction And the Yoga Sutra in the last chapter makes a distinction between a white karma which is educated and a white karma which is done without understanding. Okay, a karma done without understanding, a good karma, its effect is to wear out. It fixes your headache, and then you get another headache. Okay, all right. You get an ice cream and you eat it, and the ice cream is gone. And as Swamiji says, all you're left with is a desire for more ice cream. You see what I mean? So there's a distinction between a kindness which is done with knowledge and a kindness which is done without. And the difference is there's no avidya. Okay? There's no first link there. Okay? You want to do? I'll give you one more thing. There are many samsara. I'll give you an example of a samsara. Okay? You want to do? So here's an example of samsara. Doesn't have to mean a cycle that takes three lifetimes. Okay, you can do a samsara in about a week. All right, there are big samsaras and there are little samsaras. So a little samsara would be I know it never happens to you, but people actually criticize me sometimes. Okay, like they say mean things to me. Oh, you're stupid, or you don't do this well, or you made this kind of mistake. Okay, so someone in the ashram criticizes you. Someone says you're stupid, or you didn't clean the toilet very well, or you know your food was not so good today, or you know people do that, right? So someone criticizes you. Then you quickly you're going through all these links, you see, and then you want what's the normal reaction? Then, when someone criticizes, what's the normal reaction? The normal reaction is to say something back, is to criticize them. It doesn't even have to be relevant to what they criticize you. You know, they could say your food tastes bad, and you can say your kirtan was pretty bad. And then, you know, there's no relationship between the two things. But this is human nature, this is what we do. So, according to this wheel, according to the idea of the wheel, why did someone criticize you? Why did you see someone criticize you? We'll do it in slow motion, okay? A samskara in your mind has opened, okay? There is no guy out there. A seed in your mind has opened, like Nama Christi said. The stuff doesn't come this way, the stuff comes this way. You see? A seed opens in your mind, and then your eye sends out a person to criticize you. Okay? Alright? You gotta get used to reality coming out and not in. There's a synonym in Tibetan for avidya, it's tsurtong. Tsurtong means somebody who believes stuff is coming this way. Tsur means this way, tong means they see things coming this way. And a person who understands avidya and has stopped their ignorance, they understand that things are coming this way. Okay? A samskara opens in your mind. And then you see this person criticizing the food you cooked today. Where did the samskara, how was the samskara planted? In the mind. Who planted the samskara? You did. What kind of action would plant a samskara like seeing someone criticize your cooking? Yeah, criticizing somebody unfairly, because we know your cooking is good. Right? So somebody has criticized you unfairly. You criticize someone else unfairly. That's what put the samskara in your mind. It opened, and you saw a person criticizing you. Got it? Got it? I know it's late. Just nod your head. My mama used to say, look, even if you're half asleep, just nod your head and I'll stop probably. Okay? You're seeing a person criticize your food because you were critical of someone else in the past, and that planted a samskara, that planted a sin in your mind. If you don't want this person criticizing you again, you know, if you don't like this person criticizing you, okay? if you don't like being criticized, what's the most stupid thing you can do right now? Criticize them back. Okay? Say something back. Your Kirtan also is like the fruit. Okay? Worse. Okay? Alright? Let's play that wheel of life back. That's a samsara. That's a whole samsara. Okay, got it? Samsara doesn't have to mean you burn and die and, you know, countless times and realms that you haven't seen. Here's a samsara. You criticize somebody else. That planted a sanskara in your mind. That sanskara opened. It produced a person to criticize you about your food. And due to billions, actually countless years of conditioning, your response was to criticize them again. Now what did that do? It planted a new sanskara. And then that will ripen again in the future. Okay, that's a wheel. That's a you can say samsara means a self-perpetuating cycle. A cycle. You can call this a cycle. This the cycle of life. Everything you're doing with your life is bringing you more pain. The things you do to be happy, you thought it would give you some satisfaction to tell him about his kirtan, right? The things you do to make yourself satisfied or happy, they bring more suffering to you. Got it? That's a wheel. We tend to start new wheels every 3 minutes. Okay? Really. In a day, about every 3 minutes, we are spinning it. We are starting a new wheel. We are throwing a new wheel. We are throwing boomerangs all day. Okay? And then they come back to us. All right? That's a samsara. Try to get the feeling of a cycle. The point of the wheel, the goal of the wheel, the purpose of the painting, is that we break it. We break the cycle once, and then you're on a roll. Not a cycle, okay? Which my Lama used to always end the teaching with this, when he taught this for a year, right? And then he said, where do you break the wheel? He was just checking with us. Where do you break the wheel? Which link do you break the wheel?
One.
Yeah, it's at number one. That's your only chance. You know, they say throw a monkey wrench into the gear, you know, like stick a big metal pipe into the gears that are, you know, do something with understanding. Do something with understanding. Yeah? Next time you have a headache, to treat the headache, go look for someone else who has a headache as a treatment for the headache. Did I say don't take an aspirin? I didn't say that. Take the aspirin, and then do some kindness to someone else, and it will give the aspirin power. Got it? Take the aspirin. There's not a problem with taking the aspirin, but give it power. Give it the active ingredient, which is kindness. It's always kindness. Okay, kindness is the universal active ingredient. It makes all things work. Okay, and then you break the cycle. That kind of thinking ends in the end of death. It stops death itself. That kind of thinking over a long period of time stops the death itself. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to do the mandala offering from the paper that you got. So we're offering the universe as a thank you gift. Sashri Purvi Sorry. And then the last final prayer is called Noah. It's on the back. It's on the back somewhere. Yeah, it's like it's like a book, yeah.
Asking me questions during the day today, and it's really good for us. It's a very good. It shows people are listening and thinking about it. So I'll be up around dinner time. I'll be up around those tables there. And if you have a question, just feel free to come up and ask. Okay, it's a good way to develop your understanding. Yeah.